Welcome once again to Saturday Java with Jason. I am Jason Coffee Man. This is where we meet with guests, drink coffee, and just have a great conversation.
I'm here with Nancy Dillingham. She's a glass creator and she makes fused glass, not blown glass. She does wall art and they're all food safe. So I'm going to give the time over to her so she can do an introduction.
Thanks, Jason. Yeah, it's Nancy Dillingham Marks, and I own Glass Arts Collective in Southern California. And yes, we do fused glass, and I can't wait to share it with you and talk about all the great things we do. And I came from all kinds of great places and all kinds of things going on. So, Jason, let's get started.
Okay, now I got to clarify a couple things here because people might not know the difference between blown glass and fused glass. Are they the same? Are they different? What is the difference? What are the pros? What are the cons?
They are different. Blown glass, which is what a lot of people are hearing about, and there's a Netflix show that is fantastic called Blown Away. That is working in front of a 2,000 degree furnace, and you have to keep moving all the time to make your piece stay, because the glass just gets so liquefied that it's dripping in no time flat if you're not moving all the time. And it's a little on the high stress side. Fused glass is working with glass that is at room temperature, and you're sitting in a nice, comfortable bench. The music is going. You're laughing. You might even have a glass of wine. And you're sitting and visiting with friends, and it's a very casual, comfortable type of environment. Consistently, we have a base piece that you work from, and then you build on it. So you can build abstract, you can build specific designs, you can build animals, you can, I mean, it's almost the sky's the limit how you can decorate. And then we put it into a kiln, similar to a ceramics kiln, but it is got the heating elements in a different place. And it goes in for about 14 to 15 hours and sometimes more. And it goes between actually 1400 and 1500 degrees. So that is a lot of difference because you're not working anything hot. It's a very comfortable environment. You're never touching anything hot. And you come back the next, you know, a week later to pick up your piece, because I like my kilns to be full. And so sometimes it takes me a few days to get them full when I do it for a class. And the glass becomes a thick molten, like a really thick honey, and it fuses it together. And what I love about it is the little nicks or the little cuts that aren't quite straight, that molten or honey combination really does magic in the kiln. It softens the glass, it smooths out the edges, and the imperfections are less visible. The normal person would not, who didn't work on the glass, would never even see them. And that's why I am so passionate about fused glass, because I am not a perfectionist and I don't have to do it right every time.
That's what gets me is, like, I used to do pottery back in high school. This is going back years now, but we actually had to make a pottery thing out of clay and then glaze it and put it in the kiln and stuff like that. And it really gets to you because you put it in and the glaze is all white and it looks creamy. It looks very odd looking. Doesn't look right. But when it comes out, the clay is hard. That white creamy glaze is now shiny. It does a miracle in that kiln.
Yes. The same type of idea. Our glasses, we have multicolors of glass, which is great. And so you use pieces of different glass, and it's amazing how it comes out. And what I love is that everyone can get the same instruction in a class, but the instruction doesn't include you have to do an apple or you have to do, you know, these flowers or a tree. You do what your imagination chooses to do. And so everybody's pieces look different.
Now, I never done fused glass, so like I only saw it on YouTube, stuff like that. Is it a lot different than working handling clay? But I know with clay, you actually have to be very careful because when you go to put it on, you can make indents with your fingers, stuff like that, because the clay is so soft. Is that kind of how the glass is, or is it hard like regular glass when you put it on?
As you're putting it together, it's hard like regular glass. So the worst thing that happens is you get fingerprints on it, which we can then wash off because it's glass. So it's nowhere near as difficult as clay. It doesn't require the hand strength if you're trying to do clay on a wheel, which was not a good project for me. I did make a cute looking little ashtray. My parents didn't smoke, but I made a cute little ashtray because that's what it turned out to look like. And brought it home so proudly. But yeah, clay wasn't my thing either. But it's nowhere near as difficult as working with clay.
What would you give advice for somebody that has never done it, amateurish, never picked up a piece of glass to do the glass creations like you do? Mm-hmm. What would be the easiest thing for them to do besides like a ball that has no, you know, nothing to it? But would you say an apple? Would you say like a strawberry? What would be the easiest thing for them to make as a beginner?
Well, actually, a strawberry and a bowl aren't that easy because you have to be able to cut circles. So it's learning how to cut glass and break it correctly. And so pretty much the pieces that we start with, we have an introduction to fused glass class, which most fused glass studios have. And you're going to make something fairly straightforward and fairly easy because we're really looking for you to learn the basic techniques and working with different styles of the glass. So we have sheet glass, we have crushed glass, and then I work with the Bullseye glass products. They're up in Portland, Oregon, so it's all U.S. made. And so do many other fused glass studios, but there are other manufacturers as well. And they have stringers and ribbons. So the stringers are similar to what looks like spaghetti, and the ribbons are similar to linguine. So you get to work with these different glass pieces that are different sizes and different weights, and putting it together, and how do you break it? So I love making flowers. Flowers are one of my favorite things to make. And it is so much fun utilizing all the different types of glass available in one piece.
That really sounds awesome. I want to get to what your supplies are. Now you're saying glass cutting. I kind of know hand tools like pliers and cutters, stuff like that. But are you using a lot of like wire cutters too for the flowers? Are you using things like that that are unique to only glass cutting?
Yes. So instead of wire cutters, we have nippers, which would take off little pieces. But to actually do the bigger pieces of sheet glass cutting and even sheet jet glass for a straight line that's more than, you know, a little corner, we use what's called a scoring tool. And it has a little wheel on the end, and the wheel will scratch the glass and create a weak spot. So you use pressure on that so you get a nice solid score, as we call it. So, of course, I love to say I know how to score. You should see some of the T-shirts I have. Anyway, and then we use what are called breaking pliers, and they're also known as running pliers. And they will actually have on the bottom of them a little bend where the center, it goes from the center and goes down a little bit on either side, and you line it up with your score line in the center. And when you squeeze, that little bend will help to separate the glass safely. So you're not using your hands to do it. Yes, you could use your hands, and some people like to show off doing that, but the safe way is to use the pliers.
Now your kiln, you said it gets up to about 1,000 degrees?
No, about 1,500.
1,500. Now, yeah. Is that a gas kiln or is that electric? How was that done?
I have electric kilns. And the kilns actually can probably go up to 2,000 degrees. But for the majority of the firing schedules that we use, we don't go that high. We go about 1,500. They are electric. And what they do is they rise to a certain temperature, and then we have them hold at that temperature so that the glass can get to an even temperature all the way across and all the way through it. So if, for people who know scuba diving, it's a sort of the safety stops that you do so the oxygen in your body evens out before you go to the next level. So we'll do that several times and have it stop, and then it heats again, and then we go up and we have it stop. And then we bring it down the same way so it won't go into thermal shock. So we're not doing a huge range. So we're not going from one, you know, from zero to 1500 directly or coming back down that fast.
Now, I know that I was watching a couple of YouTube channels and they were using blowing glass, but they were using different gases at different stages. I believe one of the gases was argon. Do you use anything like that, or do you just use regular atmosphere gas?
We don't use the gas. So the gas like that really is for blown glass. And there is a lot of different things you can do with torches that could be incorporated into the fused glass. We don't do that here just because of safety reasons. Torches and people, you know, who don't know what they're doing just don't mix really well. But my kilns, I actually have six kilns here in the studio. Three of them are larger size and three of them are smaller. So three of them are 240 and three of them are 110, 15 watt kilns. And they each have sort of specialty things they can do. So our littler kilns have the ability, there's a hole in the bottom of the kiln. So we cover the hole up so we can heat it up, and we put a vessel of some type. It could be ceramic, but I use stainless steel tins, and we, or stainless steel, and we put glass in it and we heat it up. And then we are actually, we remove the little cover for the, protecting the heat, and the glass will start to come out the bottom, and we pull it out and create beautiful cane with different colors, however we've loaded the kiln. And it's a fascinating process to actually start creating your own art from the glass. So instead of just using it the way it comes, making a different piece out of it. But again, it's all using the heat of the kilns and not using any torches or anything.
So it's actually unlimited of the things that you can do. You're not just limited to you can only do A, B, C. You can actually do whatever you imagine then.
Just about. There are things you can do in blown glass that you really can't do in in fused glass. So I really can't make a good mug. I can kind of make a cup if I do something else and then cut it at just the right spot. A mug is a bit harder to do. Like the crystal ball type of things and the Christmas ornaments that are round, we really can't do those well, but we can do a circle ornament, which we do, and we do a snowman, and we do, we had some seahorses this year, we had some penguins this year in our collection. So there's all kinds of different things you, again, can do. We do Hanukkah menorahs, and we have such a variety. It's almost the sky's the limit. Once you start to learn what the limitations are, you start to push them where you can and see what you can do. And some of the artists in this studio have come up with absolutely stunning pieces of art.
I would probably get stuck doing the ashtray or a plate, something like that, something simple. I don't have much artistic value at all.
Oh, you know, I hear that a lot. And I have to be honest, I felt the same way when I got started. And I actually got into fused glass because of my mom. She was at an assisted, she still is at an assisted living facility, and they had someone coming on site teaching fused glass classes. And I'd never heard of it. And she was enjoying it so much. So I decided, even though I'm not creative, I'll take a class, learn what to do, because whatever I do, mom doesn't care. She's happy that I want to do something else with her. And so I took the class and I was amazed because, again, I'll state it very many times because it's so true. I did not think I had a creative bone in my body. And boy, was I wrong. You know, that self-talk, those things you say to yourself over and over again, and you look back and say, why did I ever say that? Why did I ever think that? That was so eye-opening to me. How many times I said it, And it wasn't true. I mean, I've tried a lot of different things, and maybe those just weren't the right things for me, but it didn't mean I wasn't artistic.
A lot of times what you say, if you say it enough, you actually believe it. That's why I always say you got to watch what you tell yourself.
Yes, you are absolutely right.
I mean, you like you say you're not an art, you don't have an artistic bone in your body. How many times did you say that before you actually picked up glass and actually tried to work with it?
Oh, I don't even want to imagine the number of times I said it. And the only thing that really got me going was because of my mom. So thanks, Mom. But I have so many people come in here and say the same thing. They came in with some friends who loved it, or one of them loved it. And so they talked them into coming because it would be fun and they can visit and, have a glass of wine. And, they keep saying it to me. And I said, just you wait. Just you wait. And the first time somebody breaks the glass and it goes pretty much the way they want, and how easy it is to do it when you use the right tools, their faces light up. I mean, I wish I had, a camera going at all times when people are first learning how to do it, because the excitement in their face, they go, this is really therapeutic. This is, oh my gosh, can I cut another piece? And it's like, oh, you're gonna get to cut a bunch of pieces. And then when they come back to get their piece after it's been fired, I like to ask them to open it and see it, because it's wrapped up in and put in a bag for them. And they look at me and I said, now please, I want to see your reaction. And they'll be so excited with what they made. And I mean, I can say this is at least 99% of the time. I'm sure I've missed somebody in my head, but I can't think of who it was. But they're so excited about what they see. And I said, from now on, you can no longer say you don't have a creative bone in your body, because you just proved it to all of us that you do. And they just look at me and they laugh and they go, yeah, I don't know why I said it.
You know, it's amazing because you kind of feel and you tell people the way that I am, because I made this podcast to get people motivated instead of just sitting in front of the screen, whether it's TV or their cell phones or whatever you have, get out there and do things, and you might learn something about yourself that you never known. And you are actually seeing it right now where, there's people out there who didn't know they can do this, didn't know they could do that, but you don't know what you can accomplish until you get out there and try.
Absolutely. And somewhere along the way, I took on kind of a go for it attitude. And even with that, where I would try things because why not? And just because they say it won't work, I don't always believe that. So I would try things. And if it worked, it worked. If it didn't, I'd go, okay, they were right. But even with all of that, I still had said to myself enough times that I wasn't creative, and that stopped me. And so I really encourage people to be kinder to themselves. I mean, stop putting yourself down, stop being critical of yourself. We're harder on ourselves than we would ever be on anyone else. Why? Why do we do that to ourselves?
I believe it's self-sabotage. We're always harder on ourselves than what we should be. We never give ourselves an opportunity to really see who we are and what we can do.
I agree with you, Jason. I had several jobs. I mean, my first job was at McDonald's. I was at McDonald's the first job and did a couple of different restaurant jobs and moved to California from Massachusetts. And I was a clerk typist and then just kept jumping around a bit. And something sounded interesting to me. And I had enough desire to learn it that I would go and get a new job and ask them to teach me what I needed to know. So I did it the way they wanted it done.
And
And
you brought, really quick, you just brought up a good point because there's a lot of people out there right now that don't have a job and they kind of look down at working at fast food. I've done it. You've done it. There's nothing wrong with that as your first job. There's nothing to be ashamed of at all working fast food or working a job that people think is low.
Absolutely. And, you know, making someone's day by smiling when you look up. When my daughter was ready to go out to start in the working world, she wanted to be at one of the retail stores in the mall. And we went around and I gave her some cash and I said, okay, why don't you go buy something for yourself? Inexpensive, of course. And I said, find out the experience you have when you go to the counter to pay. And then come out and tell me how it was. Because I didn't want anybody to see that she had a parent with her. I wanted her to be the young girl who was trying to buy something. And she would come out so annoyed because the cashier wouldn't look at her. They were on their phone. They couldn't be bothered. They didn't look at her. They just put their hand out. They just, you know, barked an amount to her. And she walked out and says, I never want to go here shopping here again. I said, why is that? She goes, it was a horrible experience. And I said, but was the experience horrible because the store wasn't set up right? It wasn't lit right? And she goes, no, it was the person at the counter, the person I had to work with. And I said, so the store's experience was that person. Now, if you're going to be that person someday, how are you going to treat someone when they come in? And it was such a golden nugget for my daughter to have the experience and realize what a difference that person makes on behalf of the business they're working for, just by looking you in the eye, giving you a smile, making sure you hear them, and just saying, hello, how can I help you?
And people have got to look at it the other way too, that your daughter wanted to be treated a certain way, and she was upset that she didn't get treated that way. But I'm not saying you, but put the shoe on the other foot. What if that person is trying to take your order, is trying to be nice to you, but you're on the phone, you're talking to them in between, talking to the one you're on your phone with? That's being rude to that person who's trying to help you out. So if you don't like the way that person is acting, well, the next time you go to the store, why do you act like that person that you're ashamed of?
Exactly. Jason, you hit the nail on the head. It is really a two-way street, and it's the perception that everyone has from either direction. And sometimes it really is something you can't control, but more times than not, you can control your behavior at any particular time. And if there is a misunderstanding, instead of yelling and screaming, just ask for clarification. You know, I'm sorry. I thought that the price on the piece was X, but it came up to being this much. I'm sorry. Was there something, did I misread it? You know, was there something I didn't see? And it's amazing if you just ask somebody for clarification. And I've seen that in business, especially I worked a lot in corporate. You know, one department needed something in a certain way, and another department that gave it to them didn't know that, gave it to them way that worked for them, and neither one was happy. And I recognized the frustration of my employee, so I asked if we could meet with the other department and just openly talk about what our requirements are from each department, how we utilize the information, and make sure that we're all on the same page. And the huge difference from basically a 15-minute conversation made a world of difference for both of those employees, because they better understood what was coming to them and what they had to give, and be able to work better to help each other.
Right. And I love that, because it's not just what do you want or what do you need? And a lot of times it's not really a lecture that somebody needs, it's a conversation. Conversation is two ways. Listen to what one person says, listen to what the other person says, so that you both know where you are coming from.
Exactly. And today, I just don't see that very often. I do not see people actually trying to understand someone else's requirements. This is what I have, this is what I need, and that's all there is to it. It doesn't matter what anybody else wants or needs. And that's such a shame because instead of being frustrated, you could have things run so much smoother just by being considerate for somebody else's role as well.
Okay, I gotta ask, what is your favorite season?
My favorite season. That is a great question. I would have to say spring. I love it as the flowers start to open and the blooms are starting to come everywhere you look. You suddenly see flowers. And I know some areas have flowers all year round, but I just love spring.
What's your favorite food?
I would say candy, but then my family would tease me to no end. I would have to say seafood. I really do enjoy fish and all kinds of seafood.
Who is your hero?
My parents. We had some amazing experiences growing up, and each one contributed to things that most of my friends never experienced, never saw. We lived abroad for a year. My dad was a professor, and how Mom dealt with it, how dad dealt with it, what they exposed us to was phenomenal.
What is your favorite dessert?
Creme brulee.
What time do you wake up?
Usually about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and then I get to go back to sleep till about 6:30.
What movie do you quote the most?
Oh, my husband quotes Clueless the most. I would have to say a Hallmark movie. I always seem to find lines from them. I like Hallmark movies. There's no fighting, there's no aggression of any major kind. It doesn't matter that I know how the story is going to end. It's a lighthearted and happy movie.
Are you a night in or are you a night out?
Night in. I really enjoy being at home with my husband and sitting on the couch and watching TV or listening to music with a glass of wine.
Are you a thinker or are you a doer?
I think I'm a doer. How's that?
Do you learn by watching or do you learn by doing?
I learn by doing. But I usually watch a bit first, but I definitely learn much more by doing.
When you go swimming, do you tiptoe or do you dive in?
Oh, I tiptoe. I am a wuss when it comes to cold water.
What is your guilty pleasure?
A nice massage.
What motivates you?
Helping others is an incredible motivation for me.
What is your deepest fear?
That I can't find a way to help someone.
How do you want to be remembered?
I'd like to be remembered for making a difference. Even if
On
it's small. Yeah, sorry.
your gravestone, what is something you would want written? To remind those that don't know you that, oh, that was definitely Nancy.
Oh my gosh, that's an interesting question. I think I would want on my gravestone, just do it.
What do you care the most about?
Family and friends.
Now, I got to go back. You mentioned candy.
Yes.
I got to ask you, what kind of candy is your favorite? And you, I don't care that your family is going to pick on you. This is going to be a you moment. Do you like chocolate? Do you like a, or do you just like everything? What's your favorite?
Caramel. So I love everything with caramel practically. But But I also like spiced gumdrops.
So you're an all-around candy holic then?
Yes.
Okay, Nancy, I want to give you a moment to talk about whatever means the most to you. It could be the glass, could be family, could be friends, could be what you did in the past. I want to give you a moment to talk about whatever is truly in your heart.
I have been a person who likes to help solve problems in a way that works for everyone. So I was a single parent. My first marriage didn't work. We're still dear friends. But I have this amazing daughter who I just have such a special relationship with her. I love to still travel with her. We don't call each other every day or anything like that, but we find special moments to visit. And she can read me like a book, and I can read her pretty well too. And it is an amazing gift. And then it would be my family, and then my friends are all very special to me. And I make a lot of friends at the studio, and I just love it. I mean, coming to work every day is not work. It is truly having fun every single day.
Now, Nancy, for those that want to get a hold of you, do you have a website that you can direct people to if they want to book, if they're local? Or how do you go about bookings for those that want to be on? Or do you do things virtual where people can send you things just to kill them? How does it go?
So I have a website. It's glassartscollective.com. And from there, you can book a class. You can see what the different classes are, the dates, times, and you book online, but you come in for the class. I don't do classes virtually. There's other people who do a fantastic job of it. But being a mom, I have an issue with the thought of people having shards of glass on the floor that the dog or the cat or the children could get into. It's just my weird quirk. And then the gift shop is also online. We have a gift shop that ships throughout the United States. And there's 13 different artists who put things in our gift shop. And most of it's online. I don't have a big enough gift shop in my brick and mortar environment. So you see a much larger variety online. I would tell you that I'm not the best photographer of glass in the world. So everything looks even better in person. and we do commission work as well. So if you see something that you like, but maybe it's not the colors that you want, then you can let us know. And the artist that would be the best for making that piece for you will be given the opportunity to do it for you. We all have different styles and different tastes, and we each will be very happy to ensure that the right person is giving you the piece that made it for you.
And what is the average turnaround from, if it is in stock, what's the average turnaround from purchase to ship? Is it 24 hours, 48? So that people know, hey, look, if I pay for it, I'm getting, you know, a shipping within this amount of time.
Yeah. We try to have it ready to be shipped within 3 days. And then you have your choice of how you want it shipped. So if you want to have it overnight, if you want to have it 3 day ground, and the website has both FedEx and UPS and United States Postal Service, and a check mark for insurance, which we highly recommend.
That's awesome. Now, are you on Facebook? Are you on Instagram, LinkedIn, any of those where people could say, hey, look, I actually want to go look at this some more? Are you on any of those?
Oh, yes. So, and again, from the website, you can get to those as well. So there's links, but we're on LinkedIn. It's under Nancy Dillingham. I'm sorry, Nancy Marks. On Facebook, it's under Glass Arts Collective. On Facebook, it's Nancy Dillingham Marks and Glass Arts Collective. And YouTube as well. We've got various videos as well as some demos on the website. And our regular website has a lot of frequently asked questions. So as you mentioned earlier, Jason, a lot of our glass is food safe. There's some that isn't, and we're very happy to let you know which ones. And we do have it listed on the website if something is not food safe in the gift shop.
Okay. And for those that do want to order, there's got to be ways to be connected if they are on Facebook to that website too. There's got to be links, stuff like that, to direct them.
From the web, from the Facebook and Instagram, we have tried to connect and we've been having issues. So I have some technical people working on trying to fix that for me.
Okay.
So it's really order off the gift off the website. There is a gift shop link. So our gift shop is part of our e-commerce of our website, and so it's off the website, and that is working.
Okay, awesome. So again, this is Nancy Dillingham, and I would like to thank her for her time. She is a glass creator doing infused glass. So I would like to thank her for her time on this podcast.
Jason, thank you so much. I've had a lot of fun visiting with you.
I'm always looking for likes, shares, and reviews. Please give it a share and a review. 5 stars really does help. Thanks for tuning in. Yes, refill both of our coffees. See you next week where we can listen once again. Please follow us on Saturday Java with Jason on Facebook and Instagram. And please follow me on Facebook at Jason Coffee Man.